Morning. You seem particularly lively today. Is there something going on out there I should know about? I started this way yesterday and don't feel quite the same today, but did you ever feel like just doing a primal scream? Well, that's a lot more than people said last night. They're kind of like, huh? Yeah, it's like, yeah. I don't mean primal in the sense of, you know, I got to get out of here, beam me up, you know. But I mean in the sense that, and it strikes me as I read the gospel here, for this I was born and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Well, we're celebrating that today. Jesus is God's truth, right? What do we say? Years ago, I think it was Sue Gordon, and put on one of those vocation cards at the time of that dinner. Love is truth. God is love. Jesus Christ is God. I don't know how you can argue against that. Love is truth. Why? Well, one, it's unchanging. And two, you can't live without it. It's impossible. We're not human without love. And that's a fact. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that love their fur babies a lot more than they love people. Oh, don't laugh, because you might be one of them. And I don't know why, Steve, I've been thinking about your best hunting dog. He died about 10 years ago, 12 maybe? Yeah. Now, why do I remember the guy's dog? Because he loved the dog. And he was very sad when the dog died. You know, I've been asked this, but not recently, but some years ago, I was at a parish somewhere, hearing confessions, and some young child said, well, you know, my fish died, or my dog, or somebody, you know, one of the pets died. Are they going to heaven? Oh, yes, they are. They are. Because they love, right? No, I don't know if God has, you know, floors and segments and departments or not, but if you're with love, you're going to be with God. I started a little differently yesterday, and I guess I'll embarrass myself again. I do try to read. I don't read a lot, because usually when I try to read, I fall asleep. Does that ever happen to you? Good. It happens to me all the time. The pages for the lectionary. When I was preparing this homily, I never looked at the readings. Is the cheese slipping off my cracker or what? Don't answer that. But it strikes me now that it wasn't going to be in my homily, but, you know, I haven't gotten there yet, so hang on. The truth. I think there's a primal scream in every one of us. And sometimes it's a scream for love. And sometimes it's a holler for all that's not right in the world. You know, the verse comes to mind. We haven't had it this year in this cycle of readings. But John the Baptist cried out. Primal screams, prepare the way of the Lord, you see. So this is a significant feast today. Not really particularly because it's the last Sunday of the liturgical year, because next Sunday the story's going to start all over again. But it's important that we're very clear about who we are because of who God is. And God is love. Well, you rarely hear me say that. I say that all the time. Now I know, well, you know, and I hear this even more than I hear about, you know, do pets go to heaven? Well, Father, if God is so darn loving, why is the world such a mess? Well, God didn't make the mess. He's just trying to clean it up. And so we have Jesus. You know the words. I don't think there's a whole lot in this homily on this page that you haven't heard before. You know all the catechism, basically. But have you made it real? Is it in your bones? So it struck me. I mean, I didn't look at the readings when I was preparing this a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, I can tell you as a fact, and it was about 10 years ago, probably after the dog died. It was Holy Saturday, and I was preparing the Paschal candle before the Exalted to sung. And part of the prayers at that time, as you mark the cross with the, I'll just say markers, I forget the name, that you put in the cross, the Alpha and the Omega. And earlier that day, I had the insight, and it was a grace, that before I ever accomplished any action of grace or kindness or goodness, God was. And before I ever committed any sin, God was. Those aren't exactly the words, but that stays with me because that was an experience. It was an encounter. My sins are not bigger than the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of God. Why? Because there is no beginning and there is no end of God. There's a beginning of end of Jesus in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, crucified 30-some years later on a cross. But God is the beginning without beginning and the end without end. And sin is not going to be your first, middle, or last name when you get to those heavenly gates. So you keep your eyes on Jesus. I did ask the people at 4 last evening, and I'll ask you, and I want you to think about it. I'm edified. I see your faith. I've been here long enough, and I hear the energy in your voices, and you respond. I can tell you can't. I don't sing as much now because I can't breathe as well, but I can tell when you're singing and when you're paying attention. I know people, love and value their prayers, but it's the old image of the chalk. The grape juice and the chalk, how deeply is that getting in? We can wear the coat of religion. We can wear and practice the practices of religion, but it's got to soak in, right? It's got to be real. It's got to be a lived, felt experience, an encounter. So, did you have an experience in the last year where you realized Jesus was Lord? Now, it might be a very simple thing. It might have been just an insight. Or it might have been a very significant thing. I mean, I've been here long enough, I can look out right now and probably off the top of my head name 10 people or 30 that have lost a loved one this year. Many are caregiving. Many are taking care of people with dementia. Many of you had serious illnesses. I see Dan is there. He had his head put back on his shoulders. Now he's got a little thing on there. How you feeling, Dan?
I said I'm going to get 2 inches taller.
Well, those high heels you're wearing are really helping then. All kinds of things have happened. What have you survived this year? What more happened than what you did? That's a word or a phrase God gave me years ago. And I know it's true because a lot more happens than what I do. It's grace. And I'm not the only one in here that experiences grace, right? You all experience grace. So I want you to think about that today. What experience did you have? Grace-filled and happy and lovely or traumatic and terrible? Where you were reminded and you knew it could be okay. Because God is still in the heavens. Now again, before I get to my homily, I see I'm making it up as I go. And then I'm going to get to what I prepared. But it struck me, I did say yesterday, it struck me because I think it was something I was reading, maybe I heard it on the radio. I don't listen to the radio, so it wasn't the radio. What happened on November 22nd, 1963? John Kennedy. I was in the 5th or 6th grade. Mrs. Green, I think it was English class. I don't know about you, but my world changed even at 11 years old. For as old as any of us are, look at all the things that have happened and gone on in the world. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. And Jesus was Lord when you were a baby. And he's still Lord now, whether you're, I don't see any 100-year-olds, but I know some people are scratching at 90. I can see the young girls over there that used to altar serve when we had service. Christy, how you doing?
Good.
What grade are you in now? You out of college, high school yet?
I'm a senior in college.
Senior in college, see? Now look at, now, I know here's from the stupid department. Doesn't apply to you at all. But you know, the kid that said, we don't know, I can't go to my eighth grade graduation because like in the last 8 years, I gained 100 pounds. Well, that was popular. How much does a kid weigh in second grade compared to how much they weigh in eighth grade? Wouldn't you say about 100 pounds more? Never mind. Tough crowd. So John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King. I know I did say this at 4 yesterday. Anybody here old enough to have lived during World War I? Well, yeah, there's still two or three survivors of that war. Service people, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam. I know there's Vietnam vets here. Iraq. 9/11. All the hurricanes. Most recently, the hurricanes in Florida. How many popes? I think my popes have been, when I was born, I think it was Pius the 13th, John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul I, John Paul II, Benedict was in there, and now Pope Francis. For all that's gone on in the world, Vatican II, Jesus is still Lord. And somehow we're going to survive all this. And it's so important that we believe and that we hold the truth, however squirrely life, society, and politics get. That's not your first and last name, because you're going to heaven. Because you believe in Christ. I have noticed in the last several years, 4 or 5, not too many more than that, that on the internet platforms, YouTube, it's not called that anymore, is it so-called YouTube, X, whatever, all those things, and there's more and more people giving witness to their faith. Some preachers, just everyday people. I believe in Jesus, and they're telling a little bit of their story. And I'm really edified to see that. And one that really struck me, it's kind of funny, really, but I don't remember what denomination the gentleman is, and he's a pastor, and so he tells this story. And he tells the story about one of the thieves, you know, the two thieves crucified either side of Jesus. And this must have been the good thief, if there is such a thing. And so he dies because he was crucified with Jesus and he died. And so he goes to heaven. And the angel kind of says to him, well, how'd you get here? I don't know, I'm here. And so the angel's having a holy fit, you know, how'd you get in? You know, I got to go find a supervising angel. We got to ask you some questions. So the supervising angel comes and says to the guy, let's start with this. Do you know the doctrine of justification? And he goes, never heard of it. Let's just go right to Scripture. Do you remember? Do you know the doctrine of Scripture? Never heard of that either. How'd you get here? And all he said was, the guy in the middle cross said I could come. Pretty simple, right? Jesus didn't say you better go to the RCIA. You got to get baptized. You got to go to 8th grade, 12 years of Catholic school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, I'm not poo-pooing those things. God ultimately is pretty simple. But the reality is, it's important that we know and understand the mysteries of our faith. Because I know that you know how to give the right answers if I ask the right questions. Do you believe in God? Yes, Father. Are you going to heaven? Yes, Father. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Yes. Make it real. Put your life experience next to and meld the two together. Make them one. So that Jesus isn't just a coat we wear and a religion we practice, because it has to be in our bones. Paul Harvey, page 2. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. We're kind of familiar with that phrase, right? Those are words of Jesus, and they're the way he lived. That's true. He lived that way. To his death, he did. I was reading a couple weeks ago, is probably why I got distracted and not looked at the scriptures themselves. But a pretty familiar and widely known priest who travels widely, Catholic writer, teacher, a homilist, heard from several pastors of many denominations who were afraid to preach that passage out of fear of backlash from their congregations. What's wrong with that picture? A lot of it comes, I think, from politics today, the last many years. Heightened political and social tensions, further heightened by the fears of the pandemic, which psychologically and sociologically many people are not over yet. It's understandable. So it's not hard to understand. And different segments of the country and different denominations, you know, it's like, you know, you can get some pretty fundamental churches and rigid faith, and I can see some pastors, well, I can't preach that because I know people will just stop coming to church, or they'll be screaming at me. We're all aware of the increase in harsh judgments and incivility and fear. I mean, since when did driving become a contact sport? It's scary out there sometimes. Everybody, one side is always against the other side. We've become a divided society in that kind of way, have we not? And the social impact of all of that is very evident in the church and in society. People are less at peace. Many of us are more anxious. We're worried about the future. People are hesitant to socially engage beyond their own personal friend groups because of political conversations, fear of illness, and just a dis-ease, a discomfort with social gatherings. We've very much become a we-against-them sort of culture, right? Didn't Jesus also say, a house or a nation divided will not stand? Not a particularly healthy image of our culture, right? But God is still Lord. I have to mention these things. I don't prefer to preach this way, but I have to mention these things. Why? Because they're too real to ignore. Because if we speak them under the truth and the light of Christ, then we are more awakened to them so that we can see and feel and perceive God in the midst of it all. People look for places of respite and peace, and they have trouble finding them. And some people begin to really honestly wonder about the reality of God. Where is God? Why isn't God giving some direction or some help in these kinds of things? And this is not hard to see. And one place where it's evident to see, sorry to say it's a bad example, but information platforms, X, YouTube. People can say the meanest, dumbest, stupidest, ignorant, divisive things, and well, it's okay, they won't know who I am. That's why I'm glad people are putting Jesus on there more. But we see a decline in hope. And without hope, people become dull, without imagination or motivation. A loss of hope can come from boredom and monotony, drudgery of going to work every day, and the fear and the weight of feeling like you're never going to get ahead, inflation. But Jesus is still Lord, right? There's tensions there. Well, if it's going to be so hard, well, where is God? That's why you have to put life and God together. You can't separate them and say, well, because God's still here. Hope is also lost against the weight of fear, hate, and a steady rhythm of dis-ease and social and political tensions. Relationships weaken. People live with suspicions, and they're inclined to disengage and be more defensive against those who don't think like them, don't value what they value, believe what they believe, and all they work so hard for. And I'm only naming these things so that we can recognize them in the light of our profession of faith, right? With all that, you can kind of understand why a preacher or a homilist might be hesitant about which passages they're going to preach on. Well, he couldn't have meant that. Well, he did, and he lived it. So let's turn the page. Today is the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of creation. We don't much relate to king kind of language, but Jesus is king because he is the sovereignty and the authority over all that is. Because God, without beginning and without end, created everything out of nothing. And God redeemed it. And Jesus preexisted in the Father. From the beginning, he was an afterthought. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Who can make that up? It was in 1925 when Pope Pius XI initiated this solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the time frame there? World War I, if I'm correct, was 1914 to 1918. So within 5 years, we have the Pope saying, because people were still in the fear and suspicion of and hate of communism and the trauma of war, rebuilding societies and cultures, particularly in Europe. And there was wavering faith. So praise God that Pope Pius XI gave us this feast to end our church year, to remind ourselves who we are and who Christ is in us, or maybe better said, who Christ is and who we are in him. The obvious, that bold and lively faith with conviction that our God is a God of love, an essence of love in which there is nothing but love. And it is that in that love of Jesus and through him that we can rebuild our hope, be restored in goodness, and mature in our expressions of love, right? It's not rocket science. Everybody here knows how to love. Everybody here wants to be loved. But if you're just sitting there waiting for someone to come and love you, you're going to wait. Don't waste your love, because you have it. These truths have to become more than words. That's why we have to put our experience and our encounters, good and bad, right with that reality of what we profess in Jesus, because God is real. God is present. And God is active and alive within and among us. Is he not? I see your generosity. How many baskets did they do? Who's on the basket committee? How many baskets? How many baskets, Bernadette? 23. You're giving meals to 23 people, and I think we had something like $1,600. I know you don't like to shop too much anymore, so you just send money. Where's Linda? Linda Collins isn't here. She was here yesterday. She did all the shopping. $1,600. How many turkeys did we buy? 25 or something? Pies and butter and all those good things. And I said, "Get for those families that have kids, get milk." That's coming from your generosity, you see. That's Christ in you. That's Christ doing more in you than you're doing by yourself, because he's helping, right? It's not just you. It's God's gift. And it's your faith. Jesus will never be real enough if we just learn and understand and know how to use the words. We have to feel that truth and that life within ourselves. And ponder that God in the person of Christ fully surrendered, emptying himself to wretchedness of the cross, and yet revealing the beauty of its truth. That gives us hope. None of us are getting out of here alive. But this isn't our homeland. Our homeland is heaven. And the only way to get there is in and with and through Christ. So that we not only profess Jesus in admiration of him, we have to learn to imitate him and do the hard things that he himself did, to love our enemies and to pray for those who are against us, which is exactly what he did. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's one of the truest, most obvious things Jesus ever said. You see, if we don't forgive our enemies, we're binding ourselves away from love. And it binds not only the unforgiver, but the unforgiven. And love comes to a halt. And peace is lost. So we celebrate today the sovereignty and the authority of Jesus. Grasp hope. I can't be shy to say, you're going to heaven. And if you don't think you're worthy, you're right. But God doesn't think like that. I think I've said before, God, you realize God doesn't even know how to count. He doesn't know how to count sins. He doesn't know how to count the past. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far are your sins, have I taken them from you. The only thing that's going to be in heaven is love. Everything else is left behind because it went through the cross. You're going to heaven. You're full of love. Grasp hope and share the love that's in you. Pray for your enemies. And if you don't want to, just choke out the words. Just choke them out. Even if there isn't a whole lot of heart in it, just choke them out. Where did I hear that? You know, someone said, well, I say the rosary. Tom Monaghan, he could say the rosary in like 4 minutes or something. Well, congratulations. Say one Hail Mary, even if you got to bite your tongue. Because then God can take that Hail Mary and do whatever he wants with it. But don't bind yourself. Because your Lord is Jesus. And that Christ is going to get you to heaven. Don't waste the love you have and the faith you profess. So, though I never said it before and probably never thought I would, thank you for allowing me to preach to you the mercy of Jesus, Christ our King. Praise be God for Jesus Christ.